You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The Republic Day sale coming up on the 26th of January may be the last big sale for both Flipkart and Amazon in India. This, of course, comes in the wake of the government tightening norms for e-commerce firms. The new norms are set to come into effect from the 1st of February this year. What these new norms are, how these norms affect e-tailers and offline retailers, what these new guidelines mean for the e-commerce ecosystem at large are some of the aspects we will talk about on our pick of the day with me, Rakesh, right here on Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series. New rules. Flipkart and Amazon dealt a body blow by the government. Is it the end of the e-tail party?
As Shreya Nandi and Priyanka Sahai reported for Money Control last week, the government has tightened norms for online retailers, making it more difficult for them to use their nearly endless stream of foreign capital to fund high discounts, a move aimed at assuaging offline traders who form a key part of the ruling BJP's core constituency. A note issued by the Department of Industrial Policy and Promotion, that is DIPP, on the 26th of December said e-commerce entities which operate a marketplace will not be allowed to exercise ownership or control over inventory. Any ownership or control over the inventory will convert the business into an inventory-based model. The rules further state that the inventory of a vendor will be deemed to be controlled by an e-commerce marketplace entity if more than 25% of the vendor's purchases are made through the marketplace or its group entities. Any outright equity investment in the vendor will also bar the entity from selling on the marketplace. Leading online players own or have invested in companies that procure goods in bulk from companies and sell them to their preferred vendors, which would list the same products at cheap prices. The new rules mean that online marketplaces such as Amazon, Flipkart and Paytm, which are all funded by foreign direct investment, cannot exercise any control over their vendors or their pricing strategy. An online marketplace is any e-commerce company that only serves as a platform for buyers and sellers to meet. FDI is not allowed in any inventory-based e-commerce company in India. The previous rule for marketplaces said that they cannot generate more than 25% of their sales from any one seller, a law that e-commerce firms skirted around by empaneling a slew of preferred vendors. The model would allow e-tailers to exercise greater control on the pricing strategy and offer deep discounts. While the government's new norms are significant, they're unlikely to be foolproof. As the Indian Express went on to note, and I quote, the government has said that e-commerce entities will have to maintain a level playing field and ensure that they do not directly or indirectly influence the sale price of goods and services. The policy mandates that no seller can sell its products exclusively on any marketplace platform and that all vendors on the e-commerce platform should be provided services in a free and non-discriminatory manner. Services include fulfillment, logistics, warehousing, advertisement, payments, and financing, among others. Unquote. What that may mean, for example, on cashbacks is that select sellers on Amazon and Flipkart cannot individually offer cashbacks. As the Economic Times went on to note, online-only exclusive deals between any brand and a marketplace has been banned. That means Flipkart Xiaomi kind of deals where Xiaomi smartphones were sold at heavy discounts only on Flipkart will not be possible. Services like Amazon Fulfilled and Flipkart Assured that offer super fast delivery to consumers and are available to sellers only if they meet certain conditions may also be deemed discriminatory. Hindustan Unilever, for example, has an exclusive Brill Cream store on Amazon where it sells products not available at retail outlets. ITC Foods partnered with Big Basket only recently to bring out a new range of Sunfeast noodles. Will such partnerships be allowed to continue? Well, that remains to be figured out still. In August, the government had issued a draft policy for e-commerce companies which garnered criticism for offline trailers. The $20 billion online commerce industry is a fraction of India's $700 billion offline retail sector. Funded by foreign capital, e-commerce companies have been looking to corner market share with their aggressive pricing strategies, even at the cost of incurring deep losses. But offline retailers still remain unimpressed with the government's year-end move. All India Online Vendors Association said in a statement, and I quote, instead of investigating violations by particular companies, the government has whitewashed their past sins and formed a new policy. It'll be years before government investigates or penalizes them. Now, this compliance is conveniently postponed to September 2019, unquote. E-commerce companies such as Snapdeal, however, welcomed the move. In a tweet, Kunal Bell, co-founder and chief executive officer, that is CEO, said, and I quote, marketplaces are meant to be genuine independent sellers, many of whom are MSMEs, that is micro, small and medium enterprises. These changes will enable a level playing field for all sellers, helping them leverage the reach of e-commerce, unquote. Now, this has obviously been a blow to Flipkart and Amazon. The government's move comes after local traders complained that they were being put out of business because of steep discounts that these e-commerce giants went on to offer. 2018, first of all, has been a year of milestones in the Indian e-commerce space. In May last year, the world's largest retailer, Walmart, added the Indian e-tailer Flipkart to its cart and spent $16 billion while doing so in what is now the biggest e-commerce acquisition in history. 2018 was an extraordinary year in general for the M&A sector in India, specifically for the e-tailing segment. According to data from the professional services firm Ernst & Young India, the value of all M&As and private equity deals in the retail and consumer sector, that is apparel, footwear, online offline retail, food chains, food aggregators, personal and home care, food and beverage, etc., touched a massive $27 billion. Now that is an almost 700% jump from last year's $3.4 billion worth of transactions. The number of M&A deals also went up in 2018. It was 129. In 2017, it was 142 in 2018. And it was not just the big Flipkart deal. Amazon and private equity firm Samara Capital lapped up the departmental store chain More from the Aditya Birla Group for 4,200 crore rupees. The Walmart, Flipkart and Amazon More deals are all indicative of India's growing consumer appetite, translating into a $670 billion retail market and a growing dominance of the e-tailer segment. The new norms issued by the government are set to threaten this ascent or force these foreign fund-backed megaliths to rethink their strategy of expansion in India. The majority of customers shopping online do it not just because of the comfort of being able to do it from home, but because of the deep discounts and exclusive offerings they stand to get online. The new norms will also impact private labels being sold by e-commerce companies. Now, over the last few years, Flipkart, Myntra, Amazon India and others have been selling private labels or in-house brands to get more customers through exclusive offerings at lower costs and higher margins, making their path to profitability smoother and much shorter than it would be for retail offline outlets. Now, that could take a hit now. Besides, the bar on e-commerce companies from selling products from entities they have a stake in could affect Amazon, as it has a stake in its two major seller entities, that is Clouttail and Aperio. As the Indian Express went on to note, Clouttail India is the biggest retailer operating on Amazon, while WS Retail was the biggest seller on Flipkart. Clouttail's ownership shows a clear link with Amazon. Incorporated in October 2011 as Sparrowhawk Sales and Marketing, its name was changed to Clouttail India in August 2012. Prion Business Services holds 99.99% stake in Clouttail. Now, Prion is a joint venture between Amazon and Infosys co-founder N.R. Narayanamurthy's Catamaran Advisors. Now, Catamaran holds 51% stake in Prion. Amazon Asia Pacific Resources owns 48%, and the remaining 1% is owned by Amazon Eurasia Holdings. Similar story with Aperio as well. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Frontizo Business Services, which is a joint venture between Amazon India and Ashok Patni, the co-founder of Patni Computer System, incidentally also the one-time workplace of Narayan Murthy. Now, Amazon Asia Pacific Holdings owns 48% stake in Aperio. Shaunak Mitra, writing for Money Control, went on to say, and I quote, just before Flipkart and Amazon monopolized the e-commerce market, KPMG had projected that by 2020, the e-tailing ecosystem would create over 10 million jobs, aided by the creation of a seller base of about 1.3 million. Logistics and warehousing alone would have opened up more than a million opportunities. Above all, 70% of the online sellers were expected to come from smaller towns. But for Amazon and Flipkart, a large part of the logistics and warehousing businesses are captive operations. They also didn't lead to as many jobs because the companies benefited from economies of scale. If the new policy leads to a revival of homegrown startups, we could see more jobs being created. Secondly, unlike in the United States, India is heavily dominated by e-commerce marketplaces where hundreds of thousands of sellers can list their products and sell online, but only a few get the privilege of selling more, especially those who either use the services and infrastructure such as Amazon Prime or Fulfilled by Amazon or are subsidiaries. Other sellers account for only a fraction of online sales. For companies like Snapdeal, Vunic, LimeRoad, ShopClues, among others, which have foreign investments but are controlled by Indian entrepreneurs, the new guidelines will be a welcome change. As the large players sideline the small players, the Indian controlled e-commerce companies have had to cut jobs. A revival could see the jobs being restored as they become more competitive. Most e-commerce companies rely on sellers for their catalog. They didn't have the money to buy inventory through subsidiaries. More e-commerce companies would mean more sellers, and each seller would create new employment. But is that all the reaction there is? There are certainly other people who think otherwise, and what those are, we'll find out next. Now, the new FDI policy could make it difficult for Amazon India and Flipkart to sell inventories worth 2,000 to 2,500 crores each, according to a report in the Times of India. Now, just to give you a sense of the marketplace as of now, $19.5 billion worth of e-commerce transactions take place in India. 75% of the market share is held by the two top players in the country. 80 to 100 million online shoppers exist in the market, and the number is growing, and it's growing organically. 36% growth is projected in the e-commerce space in the next 5 years. The valuation of the e-commerce retail logistics market in 2018 was at $1.35 billion. So clearly, the impact of Modi's Make in India norms are going to be felt in the e-commerce space, and the reactions from across the board indicate much the same. But first, let's talk about those who welcomed the deal. Business Today went on to report that Kishore Biyani, the founder of India's biggest offline retail company, that is Future Group, has hailed the government's decision to tighten the FDI norms for e-commerce companies. Biyani said it is now clear that the online marketplaces will have no option but to stick to just linking buyers and sellers on their platforms. Biyani, whose brick-and-mortar group is facing tough competition from e-retail giants like Flipkart and Amazon India, said that the move could prove to be a game-changer for offline retail companies. Kunal Bell, founder of Snapdeal, the company which got left behind in the battle between Flipkart and Amazon, clearly welcomed the decision. He tweeted, and I quote, "Marketplaces are meant for genuine independent sellers, many of whom are MSMEs. These changes will enable a level playing field for all sellers, helping them leverage the reach of e-commerce," unquote. Secretary General of the Confederation of All India Traders, that is CAIT, Praveen Khandelwal, said e-commerce sites were selling products at unreasonably low prices. He went on to say, and I quote, "They're incurring losses in a bid to get monopoly. Such practices have to stop, as there are many small and medium traders whose survival is at stake. We are glad that the government has come out with this notification and it will make a difference," unquote. CEO of SR Innovation Exchange said, and I quote, "It is high time this large marketplace created a neutral platform and enabled a fair opportunity for smaller vendors. There is a need to avoid monopoly of single vendors." Flipkart, which did not immediately release a statement, has since gone on to say that the new norms will have long-term implications and that they hope to be able to work with the government to promote fair pro-growth policies. A spokesperson for Amazon India said, and I quote, "We remain committed to a long-term investment in our vision of transforming how India buys and sells and generating significant direct and indirect employment," unquote. The US ISPF, which is the US-India Strategic Partnership Forum, has dubbed the new norms regressive and said that the changes would harm consumers, create unpredictability, and have a negative impact on the growth of online retail in India, while also asserting that it is not the government's business to micromanage businesses. Small and medium-sized vendors appreciated the norm barring e-commerce firms from discrimination among vendors in any form, but questioned the feasibility of its implementation by platforms. A spokesperson of All India Online Vendors Association went on to say, and I quote, "Instead of investigating violations by particular companies in the existing Press Note 3 from 2016, the government has washed their past sins and formed a new policy. It'll be years before the government investigates or penalizes them. Now, this compliance is conveniently postponed to September 2019, unquote, like I mentioned earlier. Many small and medium online vendors that media agencies spoke to said that the government should rethink on posing restrictions on vendors from selling only 25% of products from an e-commerce platform, claiming that the 25% sales restriction will be a deterrent for small vendors who work from home and are entirely dependent on sales from a specific category website. Now, to give you an executive summary of what we've discussed, let's run through the entire issue in under 2 minutes. Now, what are the new rules? Number one, a related entity can no longer sell on a platform. Number two, e-commerce portals cannot discriminate among vendors. Number three, a single vendor cannot sell more than 25% to one portal. So if Amazon or Flipkart have a stake in a certain company, they cannot sell products from that company. Who or what could get impacted? Number one, exclusive launches or sale of products. So Xiaomi, OnePlus phone exclusive availability on certain portals, for example, will no longer be possible. Number two, benefits such as faster delivery, deeper discounts, no longer possible. Number three, cashbacks offered by sites may be thought of as discriminatory practice. Number four, affiliated sellers like Cloudtail, Aperio, as we discussed, may take a hit because that will not be allowed. Number five, customers may get impacted because they may no longer get the deep discounts and exclusive offers and Flipkart Amazon Assured programs. And number six, the big online sales that India is becoming such a huge fan of, like Big Billion Days or the Great Indian Sale, etc., may be a thing of the past. And finally, who stands to gain? Number one, brick and mortar physical retail stores who get to now operate on a level playing field. Number two, smaller sellers on e-commerce platforms. Number three, the government. In India, all roads lead to the government, and yes, the government, the current dispensation, stands to gain because retail owners form a large part of the BJP's vote bank. So those are the people who stand to gain the most. Well, in the end, even something as personal as buying talcum powder in bulk on an online platform is, after all, political, or at any rate, influenced by the political. Welcome to 2019, the year of the general election. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.